Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is continuing coverage of United States versus Sean Diddy Combs from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Well, you know, when you think things can't get darker, they do with Diddy. It just seems to be his thing. He seems to be kind of the spawn of Satan, to put it lightly. I don't know at this point, because the way that this guy has allegedly dehumanized so many people, and gotten away with it is just really, really shocking. There was some really poignant testimony coming in. Capricorn Clark is the woman's name. Broke down emotionally when describing Cassie Ventura being beaten by Combs. She witnessed it and really didn't do anything out of fear. I'm not victim blaming here, saying that, you know.
100%.
But from a behavioral standpoint, Robin Drake, by the way, with us. Retired FBI just feel like you're, it's like Cheers. We're just already here.
We're
retired
here.
FBI Special Agent Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. From a behavioral, you know, perspective here, how do you evaluate authentic emotional courage versus, you know, performative emotion on the stand? Because I know they're going to go after her and they're going to say, well, you kept coming back. You left and you came back an ungodly amount of times, even though she was being abused. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But, you know, she's up there, she's testifying, she's corroborating Cassie's story. What would you be looking for in her testimony for someone who kept working for Diddy over and over and over, even after a lot of abuse?
It's really complicated because you're gonna see every gamut of the emotional stress, insecurities, trauma, trauma bonding, fear is the main motivator of all human beings, and you're seeing a lot of that play out. You're seeing the trauma bonding, like I said, play out. You're seeing insecurities. So all you're looking for in cases like this is you're going to be looking for raw hard data for things that are actually done, you know, that you can collaborate. But when it comes to the individual interviews and testimonies, you're going to look just for consistencies between all these stories. And the challenge here also, Tony, is, boy, one person's fear is a little bit different than another person's fear. And so as I saw, as I was watching some of the testimony and some of the legal arguments going back and forth on this today, and they're saying, well, this story of from this one person, you know, like Cassie, is not completely lining up with this person. Well, because two different contexts, from the same situation, and you got to just pay attention to the core situation of what Diddy was actually doing, but from a different optic from over here, different optic from over here, motivations from this one individual is going to be completely different or slightly different from this person's. The fear factor in one person is going to be playing out different than the fear factor in this other person. The recentness of the threats, the recentness of the fear of the individual. I mean, so there's so many different dynamics because we're not dealing with hard data in these situations. We're dealing with subjective impact of real life interactions with human behavior.
Very complex.
In other words, that's my long answer.
Yeah.
Horrible answer to a complex question, because everyone's going to be very different on how they respond and how they're testifying.
And Capricorn testified that she worked for Diddy on and off from 2004 to 2018, despite the claims that she was threatened, physically assaulted, forced in a car at gunpoint. That was when they went to go to Kid Cudi's house. Traumatized by workplace intimidation, even then reconnected with the legal team in 24 to ask for a job as his chief of staff. Again, that's a lot of stuff. And, you know, we think of trauma bonding, we think of that sometimes with like personal relationships and partners, but I mean, it can certainly happen with anyone, but it's interesting that, you know, the bonding occurred after the job started, you know, or maybe there was some, you know, younger things in each of their lives that they bonded over. And this, I mean, that's the sad part. I wonder if this sort of behavior and this sort of treatment, you know, felt a little familiar and, you know,
yes.
Yeah.
It does. And also, so another core tenet of human behavior that is guaranteed is not just fear as our motivator for human beings, but also we're always going to act in what we think is our best interests in terms of our safety, security, and prosperity. Prosperity being really the key here. So, and it's from the individual's point of view. So each of these individuals, they're acting what they think is their best interest. And so that's why, you know, left the job, actually got a higher paying job, but goes back because they're looking for their future. They're looking for prosperity. They're looking for, and they also getting an understanding, because remember, Diddy's reach was massive. You know, we likened him last time we chatted to a dictator of a nation state.
Yeah.
This nation state is big and you don't know exactly where the borders are. And as time passes, his claim on the borders is expanding. I mean, this is like a never-ending size to someone that's on the outside looking in. They're like, how can I even have a job or career in this industry unless I'm part of this nation state? Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to leverage the relationship I have, even though it's toxic, because it's in my best interest if I want to be in this industry to do that. Because everyone else is, so they're rationalizing their behavior with groupthink, that they're seeing other people and social proof, and they're saying, well, maybe I'm the one that's wrong, maybe I'm the one that's not getting on board with this thing, which they're being told, which are being demonstrated. Because remember, everyone else that is, and normally that happens in this thing, like in most situations, people are putting forth their 5% highlight reel of how awesome it is and hiding the 98% of crap that's going on behind the scenes. And so when people around you and in this, and around Diddy's circle is saying, you know, only presenting that 5% highlight reel, you're thinking, I'm the one that's wrong. I just got to get on board. At least just conjecture what's going on here. And then when you, and then you're just dealing with a lot of really unhealthy people, because unhealthy people gravitate towards each other.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, the highlight reel of that 5% of the time that's really good, it's probably really good to like a level that's not like anything else with the access that these people would have to things that they otherwise wouldn't. I mean, Diddy's the celebrity, and this is a staff member of his that we're talking about. It's not Cassie. It's not another celebrity. So to be able to be a part of that world that one would have to imagine you kind of dreamed you'd want to be someday. That's why you ended up taking a job with Diddy. The perks, those little perks, even though they're probably pretty big, outweigh the pain and the trauma that you're going through at the time. And I'm wondering if there's probably a lot of downplaying of the trauma while you're going through it, not really realizing just how traumatic some of this stuff is until you're out of the environment.
These are a group of people, and we see it in our lives every day, that have a life out of balance. And that is, they're viewing success as materialism and things, and they're going to sacrifice healthy relationships, healthy engagement, mental health, to because they're coveting, because their social network has told them that success is this thing, this object, this notoriety, this title, this position, and this material wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Who on their deathbed said it was all worth it?
Yeah.
Not one person. Because remember, it's when you have your life out of balance, and this is why doing true crime is the simplest thing in the world, because every single case like this is circled around really, really unhealthy people that are valuing things over relationship. And that's where the life arc is. So all these people in a life, and so the life arc could have been very good and very altruistic. I want to get in the music industry. I want to do things to provide value to others. I want to inspire people through the creative things I'm doing. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful life arc. But then when they get to that certain point and they're sold a bill of goods by the nation state of Diddy, then no. That's not the mission here. The mission here is the materialist. Yeah. The mission here is the title and position of being in the Diddy circle. The mission here is to get invited to the white party. Mm-hmm. What goes on at the white party? Well, you got to be inside the nation of Diddy first to get invited to that. Yeah. And so you get groomed into and groomed out of the healthy outlook you had on life and valuing people over things. Mm-hmm. You know, I see this all the time in my great kids and ourselves as well. When you pursue things above relationships, you're always going to lose. You will just lose. And we all go out with exactly what we came in with. Mm-hmm. Nothing except the memories and relationships that we had. And I know I'm getting on kind of this pontification of you know, altruistic, you know, living, but that's why I see this whole situation, this whole case through that lens, because this is a lot of unhealthy people. Now, what's happening is with the people that are testifying, it takes an immense amount of courage to go against what they've been validating inside themselves and rationalizing their own behavior for all these years to try to break out of that. But there's a lot of baggage they're bringing with it as they're trying to break out.
I think one of the shocking, I mean, everything's been shocking in this case, but but one of the many shocking things, and I'm curious to get your take on the mind behind this, is the folks who were allegedly witnessing Diddy be physically abusive to Cassie. I know there's other accusations about him with other people too. Some of the specific ones I'm talking about involves Combs kicking Cassie Ventura repeatedly while she was in a fetal position and begged security to help. Nobody stepped in. Clark was allegedly there. There was also allegations of Diddy literally punching Cassie in the stomach at a restaurant with many other celebrities that were there, other people in the music world that were brought up in around that time in that era. I won't name their names on here, but you can certainly find them. And again, nobody does anything. And the thing is, it wasn't everybody that was a security guard that he probably threatened their life or the lives of their family if they ever go and tell anything on him. These were other people, you know, maybe not quite of his stature, because there really wasn't many that were ever that high of his stature in the music industry, but people who had a lot of clout and just stood by and watched this happen. I don't know. That's a weird psychology to it. And fame and money, I'm sure, are big players in that. But to watch like somebody just punch their significant other at dinner, and you're like, hey, can I get some more of the ambrosia pie? It's like, that's weird.
That's what cults do, and that's what the Nazi Party did during World War II. There's no difference.
Yeah.
There really isn't. I mean, when you are groomed into thinking this is normal and you are being told how to rationalize it, people are objectifying people that aren't part of that inner circle. Because remember, when you're part of the inner circle, everything's okay. So you're just battling for that title and position of the inner circle so you don't get treated like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. Again, it happens inside of every single cult. It happened inside the Nazi Party. People are trying to figure that out. It wasn't really all that complicated. You set people up as victims or problem solvers. And then inside, you know, what Hitler was shown was that, you know, this is how we're being abused by the world. And here's the reason why we're being abused. And so we're going to form a coalition around this. If you're not part of this group, you're on the outside of this group. On the outside of this group, we're just going to destroy you. And we're going to, you know, kill anyone that stands in the way. And I mean, there's so many cases of family members turning in family members, of mothers turning in kids. I mean, in some cases, I mean, it was really pretty hard. Actually, not mothers and kids. It's actually kids turning in parents, actually, yeah, in a lot of these cases. But it's the same thing, because you're sold a bill of goods,
yeah,
and you get brainwashed into thinking this is normal thinking. I mean, again, I love drawing some of these other cases together. You know, so let's move out of the darkness of World War II and the Nazis. You know, what we look at, again, we go back to Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt.
Yeah.
You know, how they brainwashed their husband and the kids into thinking that this behavior of abuse is absolutely normal in life. And if you weren't part of it, you're going to be ostracized and kicked out of it. They're groomed into it, and they thought this was completely normal about how we raise kids, is by beatings, by suffering, by I mean, just think about the mental abuse that those kids went through in that case. Was that Ruby said that the two youngest kids were not behaving well enough. They did not deserve Christmas presents. And so they were forced to sit there on Christmas morning and watch everyone else open up the Christmas presents. And everyone in that house thought that was okay.
Yeah.
Or they didn't think it was okay, but they didn't know what to do about it. And that's the really key. They didn't know what to do about it. So in these people, let's bring it to the Diddy now. You see something abhorrent, you see something horrendous, but you don't know what to do about it. Who do you go to? You go to the police? Well, if I go to the police, Diddy kills people.
Yeah. Well, allegedly. But yeah.
Or ruins careers. Yeah. I mean, bad things happen. People disappear who go against the system. So what do I do about it? I better just shut up.
Because you want to, it's self-preservation too. And
100%. Again, yeah. Fear is the greatest motivator here. And then just not knowing, because when someone's running a nation state or a cult, which is a little mini nation state, mm-hmm. or the world of Diddy, where do you go?
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.